First of all, thank you for giving me an opportunity to talk a little bit about what we're doing at Geisinger. I think what you're going to hear are probably some consistent themes with the conversations we've already had today. So I'll try to keep this from just being a wash, rinse, and repeat presentation, but hopefully talk a little bit about what we're doing from a slightly different perspective. And a lot of it is the leadership of our organization. So Anna, your question this morning was really relevant. Geisinger was started in 1915 by Abigail Geisinger, and she doesn't lead the organization anymore. But we've only had a few CEOs, and when I got there 5 years ago, the CEO was nearing the end of his tenure. The organization was doing well financially, but over a five-year period, we grew from a $3 billion organization to a $6 billion organization. We did that through a lot of acquisition of community-based hospitals. We grew the health plan. We got into Medicaid. So we went through rapid growth in a five-year period. After basically 100 years to get to 3 million, we took 5 years to get to 6 billion. So it was a lot of growth very quickly. And sad to say, some of the important elements of our jobs kind of went by the wayside, and that we weren't very caring. We weren't known as a caring organization to our patients, our employees. So when we got a new CEO, Dr. David Feinberg, he came in and took a very different approach. So it's given me a chance to really firsthand experience what the patient journey, the member journey is because of leadership. And there's really, when I think about the executive leadership and why it's important, the areas I think about are really the words that they use, we use, because everybody in here is a leader in their organization. Obviously, the actions that we take. And then ultimately, the commitments that are made to support that patient or member journey. So we developed a new mission statement, and we don't use the term mission statement at Geisinger. We have a purpose. And our purpose is everything we do is about caring for our patients, our members, our Geisinger family, physicians, employees, and communities. And this is very different from what we had before, and it's, again, trying to impact the thought process of our employees in that culture. We developed what we call proven experience. And there are many elements. I'm going to go through some of these in proven experience, from what people wear, what leadership does, social compact, the refund, Dennis, that you mentioned. I'll talk about an update on that. Transparency with our patients, service recovery. Talent Plus is the software I mentioned yesterday. CI Care is a process we use in patient surveys. So the big thing I talked about a couple of years ago was the refund. So when Dr. Feinberg got to Geisinger and he recognized that we weren't generally very kind to people, we were a very process-driven organization. And even today, you'll still see elements of you walk into a clinic or you're in a physician's office and the nurse or the physician's assistant is in there and they're head down in the computer entering everything into Epic, asking you questions, and you make no eye contact. So this is, you know, you've got people who are there for the common cold, you've got people that are fighting cancer, and they're all treated with this. It's not very caring. So what Dr. Feinberg did was he loves to tell the story. You go to Starbucks, you know, like coffee, what do? You hand it back to them, make a new coffee, right? Well, we're not going to cure your cancer a second time. If you need to, hopefully we will. But what we can do is we can refund whatever your out-of-pocket expense was for the service that you received. So he went public, told everybody, we're giving refunds. So that started back in January of 16. And he just said, we're going to refund everybody. And when he laid this out, we talked to him, we said, okay, so David, we got to establish some guardrails for the employees here. People are going to freak out, okay? I'm hearing from my wife already, is he nuts? Does he understand what people in this community will do? They'll complain about everything. He's crazy. Tell him to go back to California. This is nuts. So we're in a meeting, and I said, so what about guardrails? He looks at me and goes, no guardrails. No. If someone doesn't like the experience that they had with us, they get their money back. So the only guardrail we have is if you don't like your insurance, sorry, that's what your employer purchased or you purchased. So the fact that you have a large deductible isn't something we can refund you for. That's basically it. So we've been tracking this now. We actually developed a mobile application that people could go on and request a refund. They can contact the patient advocate. They can email, they can phone call. We have multiple outlets for them to request a refund. And what we really don't talk about publicly was, before we had a program called Proven Experience, we gave out $350,000 in refunds. And then we started the Proven Experience program. And it went all the way up to $500,000. Okay, we're a $6.5 billion organization. We gave out $500,000. It's a rounding error in the revenue cycle management team. Okay, Dr. Feinberg's position is this is the cheapest secret shopper program I can find. And I quoted somebody numbers earlier today, and I went back and looked, and I was wrong. I told them that we got a couple thousand complaints. We actually got 12,000 comments. Of those, roughly 10,000 were complaints, and 2,000 were compliments. And of those 10,000 complaints, again, we only gave up 500,000. But now we have a system where we track these issues, we identify trends, root cause analysis we're able to conduct, and we're able to start really getting at some of the operational issues, behavioral issues. You know, the nurse was rude, the food was cold, there was construction noise while I was trying to sleep. These are all real things that we hear about. So this really started, was the first step in changing culture. And that's what Dr. Feinberg needed to do. 100-year history, we had gotten complacent. We didn't have a lot of competition in central Pennsylvania. Who's familiar with Pennsylvania? You got Philadelphia in the east, Pittsburgh in the west, and nothing in between. That's where we are. I'm not in Philly and I'm not in Pittsburgh. Lots of trees, lots of cows, lots of farms, lots of Amish, but not a lot of people. And we had gotten very complacent because we didn't have a lot of competition. This started to change culture, and that was an important role for leadership. Part of that was also saying, well, what do we do when there's an issue? And on the health plan side, I ran into a situation, I think I relayed to this group a couple years ago, where Medicare Advantage member went to Mexico, got sick, went to a physician in Mexico, got a medication, took the meds, everything was fine. Came back to the States, submitted the receipt to us for reimbursement. We said, no, not our doctor, not our network, drug's not on our formulary, it's not covered. So he wanted to file an appeal. So we said, great, we'll help you fill out an appeal. And I asked the rep, who happened to be my daughter, how much was the claim? Oh, it was $30. Our customer service team had no authority at that point in time to do anything to take care of the member. They now have the discretion to authorize up to $1,000 through a pay and educate program. So the appeals have dropped off dramatically. Our appeals department is no longer called the appeals department. A year ago, we fired the woman who was running it. They reorganized, and they call themselves the Member Resolution Department. Our appeals, it was focused primarily on CMS. We were getting killed with complaints to CMS. Those have dropped dramatically, dramatically. I'm happy to share details with people if you want to get them, but it has been a complete turnaround. Somebody mentioned, Melissa, maybe it was the one who talked about people, process, and technology. I can't remember who spoke to that earlier. Yeah, that's what we're looking at. Was Jody, did you talk about it? Somebody did. You know, this was an easy process thing, right? We didn't have to change, well, we did change one person, but effectively, we didn't have to change people in the department. We didn't have to invest in new technology. We just had to look at process and say, why are we doing it this way? We had standards that we were worried about Medicare and CMS, so we'd take whatever their minimum was and we'd raise it tenfold so we'd make sure we'd meet it. But then we wouldn't hit our own policy. We'd get dinged from CMS because we didn't abide by our own policy. So we went way too far, very restrictive. We had to change that culture. As part of the effort on the system side to say we have to change the way we behave, Dr. Feinberg also brought with him a program that he and another gentleman started at UCLA that's used at Stanford as well, called CI Care. And it's a consistent approach to engaging with a patient or a fellow employee. C for connect, introduce, communicate, ask for permission, respond, and end with excellence. So for example, when I walk into a patient's room, I'll say, hi, I'm Chris, I'm with Geisinger. Is this a good time if I visit with you and ask a few questions? Can I ask your name? How has everything been? How's the staff treating you? Are you having any pain? Is there anything we can do to help you? Take their information, have a conversation, thank them, give them my business card. If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to me or anybody here at Geisinger. And it creates a very different tone. So this is now part of everybody's annual review. We shadow our employees, and I get shadowed, and we score each other on how we do with CI Care. And I would love to tell you that of 30,000 employees, it's done 100%, 100% of the time. But this is a journey, and we have people that have been there. I think some of them have been there since 1915, and they're very hard-coded, and it's going to take some time. But we have a blueprint for them. So when we ask them to engage with our patients and our members, we train them in this, and we've got a slightly different training module for people that have face-to-face patient interaction, people in customer service that are on the phone. It's a little harder to think about, well, how do I do that when I'm on the phone? Well, we've developed training to help them with that. Case managers who are meeting with our patients, community health assistants, we walk them all through this with little variations on how this works in their environment. Again, to create that tone of being a service-oriented organization. Dr. Feinberg, I told him once that he's wonderfully disruptive. He will basically go out and tell people we need to make a change, and then he'll wait for people to make the change. And then when they don't, he just says, here's what we're doing. And then he walks away, and everybody's left having to deal with how are we going to figure that out. So one of his observations was that when you walk through our hospital, you could never tell who was whom. Who's a custodial person, who's a nurse. You could tell the doctors because they had the white coats. Beyond that, you had people with scrubs that had Mickey Mouse or princesses on them or camo or whatever. And he said, no more. So we now have in all of our facilities a dress code policy for our staff. And each color, occupational therapy, respiratory care, pharmacy, every color represents a different department. And we have posters up throughout every hospital, this poster, where patients can see, based on the color of the uniform, who these individuals are, what their role is. So they're not being approached by what looks like the circus, right? Now, 30,000 employees, a lot of nurses, a lot of attendees, not real happy. And we said, don't worry, we'll give you $150 towards your next set of uniforms. Not real happy. Well, I think I should be allowed to express my individuality. Dr. Feinberg said, fine, I didn't say anything about the shoes you wear. And that's a direct quote. So part of the role of leadership for us has been, yes, we need to create processes. We're going through lean training. We're doing a lot of the building block foundational long-term efforts that need to take place. But we're in an environment where, again, long-standing institution, not in a competitive environment. We're suddenly in a competitive environment. We have to change. We have to change quickly. It has to be culture, and how do you change that? Sometimes you have to make very direct visual changes to make people think differently. And that's what we've started to do. We believe very strongly in transparency for our patients. So on our provider search tool, we post all their press gaining reviews. We take the different star ratings and different elements. We also post their patient feedback. We scrub them to make sure that there's nothing inflammatory in there. But if there are unflattering things, I didn't like this PA, he or she didn't do a good job, that goes out there. Everybody sees it. As part of our commitment to our patients, is you'll have transparency. Creating that service orientation, I mentioned, I'm going to skip to the bottom real quick and I'll go back. Talent Plus yesterday is the software that we're now using, and I mentioned it measures their kindness. I drew a blank. It's not kindness, it's their service orientation. So it's really looking for individuals that are wired to be more service-oriented, much like David spoke this morning about a servant leader. You want staff that are wired to be that way. We're in healthcare. if this isn't an industry that should be wired to serve, I don't know what is. But we had people that really were just punching a clock and weren't there to serve. So we're using that software now. Another big change was leadership rounding. I've mentioned this in other meetings. When Dr. Feinberg actually interviewed for the job, one of his first requests was, I want to go to the hospital and do rounds. And he went through the hospital and met with patients and met with staff. They didn't know who he was, a little wiry guy. He apparently showed up at one of our other hospitals on a Saturday morning. He's a runner in his sweats and just walked around. People didn't know it at the time. And later they went, hey, that's the guy that was here. So now every quarter, the leadership team, anybody who's AVP and above, is required to do rounds in the hospital. So last Monday, I was in the Geisinger Medical Center in Danville doing rounds in the waiting room for general surgery, meeting with patients and their families, asking them about their experience, how we're doing, how's the staff communicating with you, are there things we could do better? So I started in this business many years ago. I started as a salesperson, did enrollment meetings, I did individual, I did Medicare Advantage, used to work at HAP and was part of the Senior Plus team, out doing home visits in Detroit, people literally heating their kitchens with their oven in the dead of winter. Never forget those moments, very powerful. Then my career changed. I moved up into different leadership roles. You become more and more disconnected with the front line. The beauty of what he's done with rounding is he's grounded us all back to what we're here for, the patient and the member. So somebody mentioned doing listening in the customer service department. I do that every month. I just cross the street, head over, plug in and listen for 2 hours to member calls. Not to assess how the customer service rep is doing, but to understand what people are calling about, to hear their tone, their frustration, and what do we need to do better. It's just, if you haven't taken the time to do it, I would encourage you to do it. It is, it can be very powerful. We created a social compact. They work with the physician leadership at Geisinger to create what's called a social compact for the physicians. And the highlights of it, their commitment to take great care of our patients, optimize access to care for our patients. If you don't know, we have a little bit of an access issue, so we're getting better at that. Help recruit, develop, and retain talented individuals. Don't drive off good people. Let's keep them here. Teach and participate in research and be a good citizen. Now, there's detail under each of these, but these are the primary tenets of the social compact. Each physician in Geisinger has now signed. And I got a first draft of an employee social compact last week that we will refine and then use for all 30,000 employees within Geisinger with our commitment to our patients and our members. So when we think about leadership's role, again, there's training we need to take our people through, there's hiring we need to do, there's development we need to do, but part of it is setting the tone that's going to change the culture. So this is we tried to come up with a cool graphic too, just like everybody else. And this complicated looking graphic is from the health plan. And 2 years ago, we sat down and set our goals for 2020, and we have three primary goals for the health plan. One is cost of care, and that is to have a trend that does not exceed 2% for all lines of business. Don't ask how we're doing, please. Second, in no particular order, is provide the highest quality of care, and we're using 5-star as the metric. So the goal is to be 5-star in all lines of business, and we're a 4, 4.5 today. And the last one was improving the member experience, and this is where we use Net Promoter Score, and our goal is to be in the top 10% of all brands nationally, not health plans, but all brands, because health plans are the third worst industry in the country. So we didn't want to be the cream of the crop, as Dr. Feinberg put it. So we've done Net Promoter Score surveys the last 2 years. We were a 24 last June. We're a 32 this June. To be in the top 10%, looks like we need to be north of 50 to be up there with the USAA and Cadillac and some of the others. It does, looking at your numbers, Jody, by line of business, individual for us is a 0. Large group is a 13. Small group is an 18. Medicaid is a 31. Medicare Advantage is a 61. and it's pretty similar the year before. They all kind of gravitated up a little bit. On the outer blue rings, you'll see communication, recognition, and quality. So what we understood and what's really critical for any of this is our employee engagement. We do employee engagement surveys every year. We typically score at or above the norm for healthcare, but we don't score particularly well, and some departments are better than others. But when we looked at it, we realized there are really three elements that we need to focus on for our employees. One is we really need to recognize their efforts. We tend to be very head down, getting the job done, and before you know it, months have gone by, and we had some phenomenal thing happen due to some heroic efforts by some employees, and we just said, oh, hey, that's great, and we kept moving. And we need to take the time to recognize them for the work they're doing. I love your celebration. I wish we could do that. I sat there, I watched that. How do I get 30,000 people on a bunch of buses? But you have to do that. Quality, what's best for our members. One of the really startling pieces of feedback from the engagement scores was our employees telling us they feel that we're more interested in making a profit than doing what's right for our members and our patients. So one of the things you'll notice is absent from our goals is anything around membership or finances. Not that we don't have a budget we have to hit, but this is not what we focus on. The last ring is around communication. And this is another piece where with the feedback we got from our employees was leadership doesn't really communicate very well. You forget to tell us stuff. You tell us late. You don't explain why. And so now we've taken a very serious effort to ensure that we're communicating on a timely basis, make it concise, help them understand the meaning behind what we're doing. So those are the three outer pillars. So we've taken this graphic and created a thing that sticks on the wall, what do you call them, the fat head things, right? And this is now in every conference room in the health plan. So I can tell you, every meeting we're in, we start to get to tough decisions about something, I will bet you a dollar, somebody's going to point to the wall and say, okay, how does that response hit these three goals? And that was the intent. How do we create that constant focus on the member, cost of care, high quality, serving our members? So we had our Medicare Advantage product has done really, really well for many years, and this year we kind of went off the rails. Trend got a little out of control, so we really sat down back in February and started talking about changes we're going to have to make with benefits. And we had sales in the room, actuarial in the room, myself, my team that does product, and sales, of course, who report to me now, so I can say this, we're whining about, oh my God, we're going to lose all this membership if we change that copay from 5 to 10. And our CEO, Steve Uso, turned to them and said, Joe, we're not designing benefits for sales. And he turned to our chief actuary and said, and Kurt, we're not designing benefits for actuarial. And he looked at me and said, Chris, your job is to design benefits. I said, I know, for the member. And he said, exactly. Now, we had to make some tough choices, but the focus was not the sales team and what do I need? Oh, we want to change that per day to a per stay because it's easier to sell. Or actuarial say, no, can't we just put a big deductible on here? We really have to keep that member at the forefront of what we're doing. So this, having this up on the wall and every meeting this is talked about has become critical. Part of the process, kind of to Jody's talk, was presenting this to our board of directors and getting their approval. And they did sign off on this, so we now present where the status update on these goals every quarter to our board of directors. And we recently established a member and quality committee with our board of directors, so we now have a separate subcommittee we report out to every quarter to our board of directors. So my last thought is something we've all seen and heard that I can't emphasize enough. We can put all the programs out there we want, we can talk about it till we're blue in the face, but if leadership doesn't put the commitment behind it financially, we just spent millions of dollars on a new website, we're spending $2 million on a communication preference tool, we've invested heavily, we're implementing a new claim system. If that commitment isn't there, people see it. The words we use As leaders within your organization, if you don't realize it, everybody watches you all day long. And whether you make a snarky comment about brokers or sales or whomever, people pick up on it, it sets the tone. And then your actions. When Steve said, Joe, we're not designing benefits for sales. Kurt, we're not designing benefits for actuarial. Everybody pushed their chair back and went, oh, okay, this is real. So that's our update.
Thoughts, questions? Steve.
Great presentation. Can I get a copy of your service recovery guidelines?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah. And we just got, we're actually revising, I'll send it to you, but we're revising it because we found that ours was not consistent with the health system. And so that kind of didn't make sense since we're all Geisinger. So our team could authorize up to 1,000, they could authorize up to 2,500. So we're now merging the two together, but I'm happy to send it to you.
Great, thank you.
Other questions or comments? Michelle?
Thank you. It was a really great presentation. I liked the service recovery aspect as well. I think the concern for our compliance department is if you do it for Medicare members, how do you not do it for all? And so did you guys run into problems with that? Did you give them a check? Did you give them a gift card? How did you get past that?
So it's pay and educate. And we do it for all members, not just Medicare. Okay. And have we stepped over the line? Absolutely. And again, I'll go back to Dr. Feinberg, who literally said, if you get in trouble with CMS, I got your back. His commitment to this. So we have a problem with opioid abuse in Pennsylvania, as I'm sure most of you experience. And we go through the SIU unit and identify cash providers and pharmacies that are basically dispensaries. We had an issue with a member who was pill shopping, you know, going from physician to physician. And so we decided to restrict that he could only get his medications from one pharmacy. And he was a Medicare Advantage member. And he appealed to CMS, and CMS said, yeah, you can't do that. And we said, you know what, too bad, we're doing it. CMS just went away. Now, a little more detail to it than that, but that's the short story, is when we showed them why we were doing it, they just went away. Because it was the right thing for this situation. So if we get stupid with it, then yes, we will get in trouble. If every month we're giving Chris Fanning $1,000 because he called and complained about something, that's going to catch up with us.
Other questions or comments? Tom, go ahead.
Chris, did your enterprise-wide branding strategy, did that occur before or as part of the customer experience journey?
That's a great question, DeAndre. That happened as part of the customer experience, and that was a after Dr. Feinberg got to Geisinger, that was also one of his early observations, was nothing looks the same. And whether it's the cardiology department versus a hospital versus a health plan, everything looked radically different. And, you know, we had the beautiful orange pill and then Henry Ford Health System with the beautiful blue oval. But we had the same name, and we looked like two different companies. So creating that unified brand, the Caring logo is on everything. If I had my employee ID, you'd see that it's held by a button that says Caring. That really has become the focal point.
Other questions or comments?
Thank you for doing this.
Brandon?
I'm curious on the rounding that you talked about and how that works and in reality, when you hit the road, a health plan is an example, executive in the delivery system, rounding, do you announce it in advance? Do you get approval in advance? And then at the end, what do you do with the information? Like, where does it go? Where do you escalate to? Yeah. How do you make it actionable?
So we don't announce it in advance. I can go in any day or night to one of our hospitals. I'll typically just go to the nurse's station and say, hi, I'm Chris Fanning. I'm with the health plan. I'm here to do rounding. And they'll say, oh, okay. I'll say, are there a couple patients that would be okay for me to go and visit? And a nurse might say, hang on, we've got Bob over in room 213. Let me see if it's okay. And she'll walk in, talk to the patient, come back and say, okay, come on in. And I'll go in and literally introduce myself. I don't say I'm from the health plan. I just say Geisinger because I don't want, People freak out when the insurance company shows up. Hi, your policy's canceled, right? So just, I'm from Geisinger. I wanted to stop by to see how you're doing and how we're taking care of you and just start a conversation. And I usually have my notepad with me and write down whatever I need to, give them my business card. No one's ever called me. But you get some simple things. On the seventh floor of our main hospital, one patient said to me, you know, you got a waiting room out there. It was actually a family member. But it's really frustrating because just to go get a bottle of water or a soda, we got to go all the way down to your cafeteria, which is a real hike from where this person was. It's a big hospital. It'd be nice if you had vending machines up here on the seventh floor. I'm like, wow, okay, that's easy. So we have vending machines on the seventh floor. So it's sometimes it's just the simple things, you know?
Can I follow up on that and ask the how is the health system? Are they coming over and spending time in the health plan and out of the physician offices? So, you know, that's
exactly. So we get a little bit. I probably know of six people that have visited the health plan and rounded with our employees, one of which was Dr. Feinberg, and he met my marketing department, and they all freaked out. I was out of town. But it's not. That's okay, you know, as we're kind of the opinion, you know what, we're going to lead the way, and we're going to show the health system that we are one. We're not sitting at the kids' table anymore.
Chris, you mentioned that once a month you spend a couple hours listening to phone calls, which I think is terrific. What do you think about, have you ever thought about with your executive team, not just listening, but switching spots with the customer service person where let them listen to you and coach you and you talk to the member?
It's crossed my mind, and then I've watched the customer service reps move through all the things they have to do. And unless you have a caller who's willing to, you ever go into a restaurant and there's the high school kid who's standing at the cash register and the person saying, it's the button on the left. And I'm like, come on, dude, I want my burger, right? We don't want to be that disruptive with our members that we've got the trainee sitting here from the C-suite, doesn't know how to push the right buttons. So it's intriguing, but there's challenges with saying, let me sit in your seat and answer these calls, because I don't know what to do. They've got multiple screens. We've got Panviva being loaded. You know, just don't have the training. Not the ability to communicate, but understanding how to operate the systems. So it's crossed our mind, but a little complicated.
You know, among the themes that I think I've heard and that we're thinking is really around execution. And so just since what measured gets done, what do you consider as the top three metrics that really drive action, you know, that have really helped move people to action?
And so, from a member experience perspective, having this net promoter score. And then as part of the survey, we have multiple questions we ask around various touch points. So we've been able to identify what we consider the key drivers and our performance within those key drivers. So having data, because if you can't measure it, you can't manage it, right? Yeah. Having that data to say, these are the key drivers, here's how we're performing. And so when we have to prioritize our limited resources, this is what we're going to select to do. That's enabled us to really get some leadership support financially, resource support from IT, resource support throughout the business to move some of the stuff forward. So the communication preference tool is a big deal. The number three and number four driver for us was around communication. What we communicate, how we communicate, when we communicate. At Geisinger, we're very proud of the fact that we keep the U.S. Postal Service in business. We spend $8 million a year in printing and postage at the health plan because we don't have the capacity to email or text our members. Our members told us over 50% of the time they'd prefer email than anything else. They also told us that they don't really understand our content. Are you asking me to do something or are you trying to inform me? I don't even understand the intent of this letter. So I got the ability to hire two writers that weren't in my budget, and we got $2 million approved to purchase a communication preference system where we'll be able to start collecting email. And on our webpage today, we've already started saying, let us know what your preferences are for communication regarding wellness activities, your EOB, et cetera, so we can start to communicate the way they want, when they want, and how they want. wouldn't have been able to do that without data.
That's great. So NPS kind of drives it. Drives allocation, prioritization of dollars, and then even actions.
It does, and it also is something that we, next week we're doing our all-staff meetings. So I'll do State College in Harrisburg Monday, and Wilkes-Barre and Scranton on Tuesday, and then Danville all day Thursday. And we'll do about 9 meetings total. And one of the topics is an update on that promoter score. And so we'll spend some time working on, and we've already got the list of showing the employees how what actions they've taken, like the member resolution team that used to be the appeals team, how that's helped influence the net promoter score to try to help improve some of that engagement.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. We've got a couple more minutes here. Any other questions or comments? How is your leadership team, I'll throw the question out, how is your leadership team engaged and involved? I think we asked the question, how many of you, do you or members of your leadership team listen in on the phones
frequently?
Quite a few in the room.
Yep,
good examples there. Other examples of things of how your leadership team is setting the tone and the culture and the strategy for public? Yes. Got a mic on.
At Neighborhood, we have the team not only do roundings through most of our key providers, because we don't have hospitals, we have health centers tend to be our largest providers. But the leadership team not only on a regular basis circulates through them, but they also circulate through our own employee sections. So our IT guy is responsible for making sure that he hits the key offices throughout the organization to make sure that there isn't anything that's holding their work up, or if they just need to communicate with IT and they're just not getting response. So the senior team circulates throughout our own organization as well, and that has been probably the thing that has helped, because communication came up in our engagement surveys. That's been the one thing that's helped kind of tamp that back down to something that they feel more comfortable with.
And we will do rounds on some of the clinic sites as well. Dr. Feinberg went out towards State College and rounded at one of the clinics, and he'll tell the story how the staff was really excited. They couldn't wait to show him some of their new equipment. They just gotten a new hitch post, and he thought, well, what is this? And they went outside and showed him it's a hitch post, you know, where the Amish tie their horses. So a little different than L.A.
Other questions or comments? Chris, thank you very much. Excellent presentation, really. Yeah, I just set it there. Thank you.